Good afternoon and welcome to everyone to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Tuesday, February 20th, 2024. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded. Meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I'd like to share a few helpful tips. For people who are joining through phone calls, you can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. And you will be able to unmute yourself when you are recognized to speak. To raise your virtual or hands or lower your virtual hands, you can press *9. Everybody who is on the video conference can click on the speaker icon to unmute themselves when they're recognized. To raise your virtual hands, if you go under more where you see the three dots, you would see an icon where it says raise hand. If you click on there, you will be able to raise your hands. And then I would know that somebody is intending to speak. Accordingly, we can ask the intended speaker to unmute themselves at that point and make their comments. Just a reminder that we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, I would request everyone to please state your name when you're making comments because it helps the interpreters in doing their job well. It also helps everyone who is listening on the phone calls as well as anybody who listens to the audio afterwards. We also ask everyone when you're speaking, please describe yourselves briefly initially. For instance, I'm a female Asian Indian. I wear reading glasses and I have long dark hair. Chair Semelford, I will go ahead and read the meeting agenda out loud and then take the roll call of the committee members. And then I would give information about public comments. So before I read the agenda, I would share my screen. So if you would bear with me for a quick moment. Okay. After I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call of the committee members. And Chair Summerford will go through review and approval of today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. At 4:10, we will have reports, which are commendations, customer service, and outreach, if any. At 4:15, we will have the two awards presentation, the Michael Wilson Award, as well as the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. At 4:20, Mr. Blake will give us information about Metro Access OCC, where is my ride update. At 4:35, there would be a committee discussion with Mr. Blake about the budget update and any communication plan. At 4:55, Allison Anderson and Mr. Blake would give us information about Metro Access customer guide and insert pamphlet. At 5:15, Mr. Millis will give us an update about the Metro Access next generation van. At 5:35, we will begin with our public comments section, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I will stop sharing my screen now. And when I call out your names, committee members, please confirm your presence and you will be able to unmute yourself. Azhar Atura, Darnese Bush, Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Gulls. Rico Dancy.
Vanessa's present.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher. Marcy Goldstein. Timothy Howard. Steve Caffin. Thomas Mengram. Philippa Mazzell. Sandy Newsom. Phil Posner. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Samaford.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Schumann.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simonow. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. And I just want to quickly share some information about public comments. To keep the meeting running in an orderly manner, we would recognize the speakers when it's their turn to speak. Members of the public will have an opportunity to unmute themselves and make comments during the public comments section. If you would please raise your hands. If you're calling in through phone calls, you can press star 9. Otherwise, you can click on the more the three dots button, and under that you will see the raise hand icon. Every member of the public would be allotted 2 minutes. And we would go further more in detail as needed when the time comes on the for the public comment section. At this point, Chair Semaphore, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Thank you. First thing is we're going to review and get approval of the meeting agenda. This is a fully plated agenda. Are there any additions to this agenda? Again, a full agenda. Please do so now. If not, can I get a motion to approve the agenda as is?
Motion to approve, Farmer.
All those in favor to approve the agenda as is, please do so by saying aye.
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 All right, nays, abstentions, the agenda will be moved as is. The prior meeting minutes from last month, are there any changes, suggestions, additions to the minutes? Please do so by saying at this point. Hearing none, can I get someone to move the meeting agenda minutes from the last Metro Access Subcommittee meeting as is for January?
Motion to approve. Farmer.
All right. All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nays, abstentions, the motion carries to approve them as the minutes from January 2024 as is. Next, we're going to have reports for accommodations, customer service, and outreach. Ms. Anderson, you can unmute her, please, and company.
All right. Thank you, Chair Semaphore. Again, my name is Allison Anderson, middle-aged Black female, wearing a cream-colored shirt, hair pulled back. So it is my pleasure to present Dolan Chittums with MTM to give the public comment report from our last session. Dolan?
Good afternoon. My name is Dolan Chittums. I'm an African-American male wearing a blue shirt with glasses and long locks. So during the AAC meeting held on January 2nd, 2024, there were no outstanding public comments to be addressed. During the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting on January 16, 2024, there was one public comment that could not be addressed during the meeting and required further investigation. An error was detected in the online booking system, which was promptly rectified. To ensure the concern was handled, the customer was contacted to share information regarding this inquiry. Now, to accommodations during the month of January, Metro Access received a total of 430 accommodations, broken down by provider. First Transit had 63, Transdev 87, MVOCC 116, Challenger 50, Next 92, MTM 2, Eligibility 6, and Abilities Ride with 14. This concludes my report.
Thank you. And Ms. Anderson, next on our agenda, outreach.
Yes, thank you. So, along with the customer calls that we receive either through ADAP or other various entities throughout WMATA sometimes, we did have an outreach event. Mr. Blake was the guest speaker at on January 18, 2024, at the National Capital Area Chapter of the Maryland Council of the Blind, an affiliate of the ACB. So I'm sure that those members were able to ask questions of Mr. Blake regarding Metro Access and other accessible features here at WMATA. So that concludes our outreach report for this session.
You there? Awards are next.
Correct. At this time, I'd like to present Ms. Crystal Thompson of Next Transportation. She is the safety manager, and she is going to present the Michael Wilson and the AAC Safety Award for this afternoon. Crystal? See, you're on mute, Crystal.
Good afternoon. How is everyone doing? So I have them. We have selected for Michael Wilson our operator, Shishir Katawada. He spent 7 years here with his tenure. He enjoys his job every single day, going overboard and beyond for what he is required to do. In his pastime, he likes hobbies as reading books and novels and playing guitar in his downtime. But overall, we want to thank Mr. Shishir for his diligence and commitment to his job that he does every day. So we have this plaque here. I can get it off the table. Come over so everyone can see you. Oh, thank you. So he has a Michael Wilson Award, and our second award went to
Thank you.
Miss Suwapa, who has Miss Suwapa, who has spent her tenure here since 2015. She goes above and beyond her duties every day. She enjoys doing her job here, which she thought was going to be a short-term thing became a long-standing career for her, and she enjoys giving back to her community. In her downtime, she enjoys moments with her family, relaxation, sleeping, and cooking. So we gave her the Customer Service Award. Here's her plaque. Do you guys have any comments?
Thank you.
After 7 years of my dedication to work, I believe I got something.
Any comments, Wapa?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you so much, Crystal, and congratulations to both of our recipients this afternoon. Very
Thank
well
you.
deserved, I'm sure. And thank you for all that you do for Metro Access. It's very important, and I'm sure our chairperson and the other committee members share the same sentiment. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. for all you do to service our customers. So next on the agenda, and Mr. Blake should be preparing, we're gonna have that wonderful chat about Where's My Ride with the Metro Access OCC. And Mr. Blake, I'm gonna let him give kind of a presentation of some of the technology updates that's been happening to address some of the ongoing challenges at the AAC in terms of customers being able to call in and the response time, and some of the looks like innovative things that they're doing to help relieve some of that. Go ahead, Mr. Blake.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mr. Chairman. I'm Chris Blake, black male, wearing stylish glasses inspired by the designs of Miss Rush and Mr. Albert, and I have a purple and white shirt on. Okay, and I'm from Metro Access. We've heard you as the customers, as a consumer in other areas. I know the frustration of calling in and being on hold. So in addition to the OCC improving their staffing, improving their response times, and if they wish, they could chime in on their efforts on that end. What we've been trying to do is give customers more options than you've had over the last 25, 27 years when it comes to getting information about Where's My Ride. So, of course, the phone calls are still there, the phone lines are there, and that's going to be the bulk for now, because that's just what customers are used to and how customers generally interact with Metro Access. But several months ago, we launched the Find My Ride, which is a web-based application similar to web-based applications being used in other parts of public transportation, including right here at WMATA. The Find My Ride app has been adopted, if you will, by about 800 to 900 customers who are using it as an option, as an alternative to calling in. And what that does is give you somewhat of the Uber Lyft experience, where you can go to a mobile device or a desktop or laptop computer and get an estimate of your vehicle's arrival time, and actually get an image of the vehicle of where it was at the time you logged in for the Where's My Ride inquiry. And it gives you a traffic estimate: no traffic, mild traffic, heavy traffic. So as we were launching that tool, so that's tool number two. There's the phones, and there's Find My Ride via computer, which requires no human interaction whatsoever. I noticed that we put a number out for people to text to get information, get the link to sign up for Find My Ride. But a lot of individuals just prefer to use the text message to say, "Tell me where's my ride. I don't want the tool, just tell me where's my ride." And so, recognizing customers' support and enjoyment of getting text messages, what we've done is set up a text message line that is now staffed 24/7. And so now you don't have to call in, and if you don't want to use the Find My Ride app, you simply text a phone number, and you text the number with your ID number and your pickup time. And then the agent, right now it's a human agent, so you can interact even further, but you can't call this number. But the agent will give you the information about where's your ride, as well as other things. You can text that number, excuse me, to cancel a trip, to ask for the trip to be moved to Uber if it's running late. There's a lot of flexibility with the text message number. So now you have the phone calls that you've had all these years. You have the Find My Ride app that is more like the modern technology some use on other services. And we have the text message option that doesn't require you to be on hold. You send a text message, and in a few seconds or a couple of minutes later, you'll get an update on your ride. But again, we recognize the frustration of some customers at a moment when the call center is not as responsive as they need to be. I've stayed on the management of the call center's case, if you will, Just this past weekend, I know I watched them offer overtime and other incentives to their employees. So they're working on that end. And in the meantime, we're continuing to find other solutions that give customers as many choices as possible.
So, Mr. Blake, also you may want to mention that now in the web application, you get an estimated time of arrival. Now, of course, you would have to log out and log back again to see that, update. So that's one thing I noticed in the web booking application. Did you want to talk about that?
Okay, so now I've got to go back and test that now. I didn't realize, and I'll check it out. You don't have to log back out. You have to hit the refresh button.
Oh, okay. But
Yes, if you hit
what
the
I never.
refresh button.
Oh, okay.
Unlike the Uber app, where and that is a difference. And when I launched this, I reminded everybody we didn't have, $60 billion of venture capital funds. We had a very small budget and we had to be creative with it. Where the Uber app is like constantly live, you're watching the vehicle move and the information is being updated constantly. This is more of the web a few years ago, if you will. You get the information instantaneously. Here is where your ride is at the moment. Come back 2 minutes later, you hit the refresh button. Unless your web application, unless your browser has automatic refresh, and I don't believe many mobile browsers do. I can't speak to all of them, but if you hit the refresh button, it will give you an updated where's my ride estimate.
All right. So I guess I'll let committee members only speak to this. I began to see improvements. I will say myself, I've been using the texting feature as a customer, and it is for those who are able to text, because I can't speak for everyone. There are people who still do prefer to call in, and that may be the only route, and I want to allow that. They have their right to do that. That's their right, to communicate with the call center. But I will say those who are able to text to give it a try, because I'm able to, it saves time having to wait for an agent, and they do respond within a reasonable time, and that's, going to work over time in terms of, like he said, I didn't know about canceling the trip, but I also know, like, oh, there's an Uber and the address needs to be changed just slightly, or if something is going on, like they moved it to an Uber and I see on the app that a vehicle is coming, you need to take it off of that. So things like that, you can communicate, oh, I see it's late. Is it possible to get an Uber and request one? So they have been responsive in doing that. Again, it's a work in progress, but I believe this is going to be a very useful tool for those who are able to text to in terms of
And the
more
point you're
efficient
making,
conducting.
and I agree with you in that for those who are able and want to use it, and the goal is, like we do with other things, you'll have some who use the text feature, and if they're using the text feature, that theoretically should free up the phone lines for other customers. So it benefits, and those who are using the Find My Ride, then they're not using the phone or the text. So spreading it out and allowing customers to use their abilities to whichever feature they want is how we want to do it. And I was just reminded that with Tim, our digital assistant, we're going to be training Tim to be able to provide where's my ride information as well, adding yet another layer of support for that timeliness that you are just referring to, Mr. Chairman.
And it is my hope, while we know during, kind of like rush hour, impacted times, that the call volume will hopefully go down and the wait time will get to where we need it to be. We hope we don't have a repeat on a Sunday night where it's almost 30 minutes and I'm not getting through to anybody at the call center.
No, we want to avoid those incidents. I can't promise you, even when things are perfect, that that will never happen. But it is absolutely our goal not to have those type of experiences with any customer at any time.
All right. All right. So I will take questions from committee members and comments. I see Vanessa Coles or whoever else you want to speak your name.
We have Vanessa only at this point.
No, it's more than one of that.
If any members of the committee have any questions or comments pertaining to this topic, please do raise your virtual hands and we will take your comments in the order received. Vanessa, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I am a African-American woman with curls in my hair, and I have on a T-shirt. So, Mr. Blake, so did I understand this, because this sounds really good, but I have some consumers, I'm sorry, it's echoing, because that are always waiting for their trip. So is this system an extension of OCC having the same authorities to move, cancel, help with Uber links? Is this an extension of OCC services? Hello? Hello? Anu, am I on mute?
No, Vanessa, we can hear you. Bear with us for a quick second. Mr. Blake is trying to unmute himself.
Oh, okay.
We can hear you, Mr. Blake. You just
now you can hear me. Okay, there we go. It was saying there's a message on the screen. The host is not allowed. Okay, we'll take care of that. But if you can clear the screen for me, I can't see now. But okay, but Ms. Cole, the answer is yes. These are resources that are being administered through the OCC. The people who are answering the text messages are OCC employees. The tool, the Find My Ride, is being done through the OCC. And the calls, of course, are OCC. So yes, there is no separation or difference. These are just added features to the resources of the OCC and the call center so that customers can have their trip demands satisfied. So yes, if you send a text message, if one of your constituents say they're waiting on a trip, if they send a text message to that number and say, well, my trip is late, I'd like this trip moved to Uber, it can be done in an instant, yes.
Well, even if it's not late, because I have one lady who has extreme problems, so she is just waiting for her pickup. You know, she's had to, well, I guess in that case it would be late, but she should be able to text and inquire about her trip. Mm-hmm. She has to wait until it's late before she can, well, she can't take a Uber because she's in a wheelchair. I'm just trying to see how it's going to help her because she has a lot of problems, and I want to see how this would help her to get her trip quicker. So if she texts this number, they will be able to find out where her trip is, and I don't know what they can do for her because, she, like I said, she's in a wheelchair.
Right, yeah, we're not promising a faster trip. We're giving you the estimate the same as if you were calling an agent. But if she's in a wheelchair, we can look. There are Uber trips in wheelchairs. There are taxi trips for wheelchair customers. So the customer simply needs to inquire where is her ride, and the agents are trained to provide that information, but also offer the customer alternatives and options if they wish to try it, if their trip is either late or projected to be late.
Mm-hmm. And then with the Uber inquiries, if I need help with my Uber link, they have authorization to do that as well. We don't need to go through a supervisor or anything.
That is correct. In fact, that's how this started. It actually started with the Uber aspect of it, where we sent out a text message explaining some of the challenges Uber was having and said, if you're having challenges with your Uber link, please text this number and an agent can rebook your trip for you. So it started with the Uber, and it's expanded to Where's My Ride And I've slowly expanded into you could text this number to cancel your trips. We're going to let it grow to where it's effective at providing relief across the array of services, so that no one customer has to experience what Paul was mentioning about a 30-minute wait. So that's what we're trying to do, is spread the resources around so that every service under the OCC umbrella is considered ideal.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Blake.
Okay, thank you, Vanessa. This is Anu, Chair Samalfor.
Excuse me, Anu, can I just ask you a quick question? I don't know if anybody else is experiencing this. Maybe it was only me because I was trying to unmute myself, but there's a message on the screen that I can't remove. Are you able to see that message by any chance, meeting alert message?
That might appear on your screen, Mr. Blake. Okay. When people raise their hands, then we are able to recognize them and ask them to unmute themselves at that point.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
If any other AAC members have any questions or comments for this topic, please raise your hand. You can either press star 9 if you're calling through all your phones, or you can raise hand by clicking on the raised hand icon. Okay, Chair Samalfor, I do not see any members of the AAC with their hands up. Are you able to unmute yourself, Chair Samalfor? Okay, try now.
All right, there we go. So let me lower my hand. In any case, if there's members of the public, so what we're doing right now is if you have a comment, please save it for public comment. We are only taking comments from committee members.
Thanks.
So we can move on and address the next topic. So please write down and hold your question, put it in the chat if you need to be something urgent to Anu, and that way you can put it as part of your public comments. Thank you. So we're going to move on to the next topic, Mr. Blake. So the public hearings. And also, I'm going to need Denise for this one also, for this discussion. I see the messaging that's on the IVR about 4 public meetings and to go to a matter. My question is, in the past, is it possible to link it to like press option, whatever, just for a essential FAQ? All we're asking for is just to list the meeting dates and location addresses. That is it, if that's possible.
I don't have any objection to that, but let me turn it to Ms. Anderson or Ms. Williams-Hall, because they've been working on putting it on the IVR, whereas I've been dealing with the robocalls and other aspects of this. So do either of you have any idea if we can make this an option 5 or option 6 that customers can go directly to?
Actually, Mr. Blake, this is Allison Anderson. I can answer that. So on the IVR phone system that people call into, that option, that FAQ option does exist. If they call in and press 7 and then the number 5, they get a full FAQ, which gives the location, dates, and times of the public hearings. However, if you go online, that message is pretty long. And so we direct folks that are online to WMATA.com to get that information.
All right. Because the only issue with that, because, I saw the messaging, is if if there's any way possible to tell the customer to go to option 7 then 5, that would be great for more information, because it just stops at going to WMATA.com. And the challenge with that is, while this messaging is very accessible, there might not be customers that might not be able to access it online to get it. So I would like them to at least know where they can get it from the IVR, from that FAQ section. So
no, it does.
It. Oh, it
I'm,
does?
I'm sorry. It does. When the person calls in to the IVR, the 301-562-5360 number, the main number, it does give the message and directs them to press option 7 and then number 5.
Oh, okay.
So they do get that information. However, online, anybody going through PassWeb, the online booking system, it directs them to go to WMATA.com, because we were trying to prevent customers that are booking trips online then had to have to call to get those FAQs.
Oh, got it. Because I guess for me, being a sighted person, that's why I saw it in print. I thought that was what the same thing I'll be hearing. Okay, so it's two
no,
slightly
it's
different
two
things.
Different. Okay. Yes, correct.
Got it. Okay. Denise, did you have any comments in terms of this? If you can unmute her.
Sure. Give me one moment, please. Ms. Rush, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Okay, now I'm unmuted.
Yes.
Well, when we had the meeting, we were expecting last Thursday to hear an update, or we were asking you to call people who would be affected as soon as possible, so they're not sitting on the edge. Your robocall just says that please attend the hearings. There's not any more information that people have received. They're still sitting on the edge about their individual concerns.
So I guess what I'm hearing, Mr. Blake, if Denise, correct me if I'm wrong, is she wanted to find out when will there be communication to customers? Can there be possible information, like via a robocall, saying to some degree that they will be possibly affected by this, if that makes sense to you?
No, it makes complete sense. So here's why that hasn't occurred yet. So the first message, my understanding first from the request of the committee and what you voted on in a motion was first to notify every Metro Access customer about the hearings. And that's what Miss, oh goodness, I'm getting so old, I can't remember now, former committee member who wanted us to do
Regina.
Certain things. Yeah,
Regina.
Ms. Regina was saying,
Lee.
And I made a commitment that I would reach out to every Metro Access customer, those who currently use the service, those who are generally using other services. And that's what we did with the robocall. I went out to over 35,000 people. And in that robocall, it provided the website to give every customer access to more information in general about their about what the budget hearings are all about and how in general it could impact them. The secondary request from the committee, and I hear it loud and clear, is if I know that Denise Rush service is going to be impacted, it's going to be cut because she's outside the proposed service area, well, I need to have a robocall or two or some other direct communication just to those individuals as a secondary effort. That has not occurred yet because a new map has been developed We are going with the budget hearings are going to be about the doomsday budget that we've been hearing about, a $750 million deficit. But because of work that my colleagues and the leadership of WMATA has underway, hello, somebody's got to be muted. Yeah, there we go. Okay. The work that has been underway by the leadership of the authority and by my colleagues on the lower level, if you will, the map of Metro Access has not changed that significantly. So we're going to have these hearings coming up, and there are smaller edges, but the idea that there's a whole lot of individuals we have to reach out to at the moment doesn't appear that that's going to be the case. So we're waiting for the public hearings to take place. There'll be a time between the public hearings and the final vote, but we're seeing a map that has not changed that significantly. So the second part of what Ms. Rush and the committee wants is going to take place, but right now there isn't a whole lot I can do in terms of identifying specifically individuals whose service is absolutely going to be eliminated. So that's why we've done the first one. 35,000 people have been notified. They have information, and we'll continue to work with our colleagues as we get more and more information as to what this map means. There will be outreach to individuals, but that was always going to be second, not first. So we've done the first thing, and we'll work on the second. We're still working on the second.
Mr. Blake, I understand that you can't, your hands are tied and you're waiting to get the correct information or most updated information. It was just that it was implied at our last meeting that listen to the meeting on Thursday with the board of directors. It sounded like listen to this is very important, and we listened and we didn't hear anything. That's my concern. Was I confused? Did you get the same message that I got?
I was listening, and I was under one impression of what the meeting was. I didn't get any information that I thought was going to be presented at that particular meeting. But later on, I spoke to a colleague, and I was corrected in what my interpretation of the purpose of that meeting was.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
So one last thing, Mr. Blake, has there been any efforts yet to at least get some, get the vans with the flyers about the public hearings on in terms of some level of communication?
That's going to be taking place as well. There's a colleague who's handling that aspect because that's being coordinated as part of Metro's official outreach for this budget hearing. And whereas sometimes Metro Access staff, we can do certain things, when it comes to these official hearings and the laws and the rules that need to be adhered to, I have colleagues who are great professionals in their own endeavor and in their own areas, and we defer to them. So that is going to occur, but it has to occur in conjunction with the other outreach and public outreach they're doing. But I do understand that if you haven't seen them in a van yet, you should see them very, very soon. But I believe in some cases, they're in some of the vans already.
All right, because I ride a lot and I have not seen one yet. And this only concerns me and other people because the hearing starts on Monday and it's less than a week away.
I agree with you. I understand. I do believe that some of it has gone out, but again, we're working in conjunction with the overall public outreach. So if you haven't seen it yet, maybe what I'll do, I'm not being funny, I'm being serious. Maybe I'll keep your trips on Metro Access this week, and let's just see if what your surveillance would tell us. How's that?
All right, because I'll know tonight.
Okay. Unless we move your trip, but we won't move your trip tonight. How's that?
All right, we'll see. Okay.
Yeah, this is Zeno. We have Doris with her hand up.
All right, Doris, go ahead.
Yes, I was just wondering, Mr. Blake or whoever can answer, whether we, as part of the communication plan, whether you send press releases or some kind of flyer or whatever to local government entities that put out weekly newsletters like Inside Arlington and in Fairfax, we have a number of newsletters that come out of the public affairs office, as well as a disability, the Fairfax Area Disability Services Board puts out something called Access Fairfax, and entities of that nature, and whether you're sending anything to the Centers for Independent Living and maybe the disability consumer groups like NFB and ACB and United Spinal and others, the Northern Virginia Association of the Deaf, and the same in Maryland and D.C., whether you're putting out flyers or press releases of some kind to them. So, you know, you guys have the office to be able to do that pretty fast. Maybe you've already done it. And then I'm wondering whether the communications and media resources at WMATA have the ability, for example, to, you know, if there are upcoming appointments for interviews, like with Kojo Nandy or with the local NPR and other stations, you know, doing interviews of some kind about the effect, but in our case, the effect on people with disabilities, because those kinds of entities will get to a lot of people. So will social media, but I'm just thinking about broadcast media right now. But I just wondered if you're doing things like that so that it's not just the committee here that's you know, having to get up out any information or releases, so that then we can jump on that with the community.
Yeah, no, great question and suggestions, Doris. I will just say again, our colleagues in the public outreach space have developed over a number of years a very robust and time-honored public outreach apparatus and process. This isn't their first rodeo, if you will. Again, as I mentioned a few weeks back, a lot of times we didn't have this much gearing up, especially within the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting, because you all were sort of protected from a lot of things. You know, I tried to be like the angel keeping all the bad news away from you. But trust me, we've had public hearings every year, and this team is excellent at getting out to the necessary stakeholders, the media, the community stakeholders. So I trust them. I stay out of their way. I respect their work in getting the message out. Again, our part, one, communicate with every person who's registered for Metro Access, whether they're an active user or not. And that was, again, over 36,000 people on Friday. We have begun placing signs in the vans, but as Mr. Summerford says, maybe we haven't covered every vehicle, so We're going to follow up on that part. And a lot of the, and you all have been, of course, already engaged as committee members and disability community stakeholders. But in terms of WMATA's coordinated effort of public outreach for and public participation for these budget hearings, I respectfully have to defer to my colleagues whose expertise is in that area and who've been doing a great job at it for a number of years. So if you find or you believe there is anything lacking, not just the idea, but if you believe that something just has not occurred, share, and I will certainly pass it on. But I think I just want to be able to say, I think you can have a lot of confidence and trust that the WMATA Public Outreach and Public Participation Team has every single base covered on this, as they have on other public hearings that have taken place over the past years.
So may I suggest, Mr. Blake, that one thing that they might not have thought of is if you sent a release with a personal note or something to the Metropolitan Washington Ear, for example, and the Columbia Lighthouse, and ask them to turn it around. You know, for example, the Ear could put it right up at the front of the messages that you get before you start reading the Washington Post.
Okay, that's fair. I'll take that down, the Ear and the CLB. Oh, we don't like UCLB, the Columbia Lighthouse. And we'll follow up with my colleagues.
I mean, they put out every day, 7 days.
Well, I got you. We'll follow up with our colleagues in that recommendation as well.
Okay, thank you, Doris and Mr. Blake. This is Anu. Chair Simon Ford, the next person we have is Thomas Mangrum. Thomas, please go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hello, this is Thomas. My thing is this. I want to know several things, Mr. Blake, if it's okay. If we do with the public hearings, I know we could do it on the computer, but also, can we be there? And also, can we fight for a regular budget to be done every year instead of going through this thing every single year? Because we could fight for a regular budget, whatnot. I would like to be on one of the people that's doing this, so we won't have to worry about the change again if we could figure out a way to have a regular budget set up so we don't have to worry about none of this. So if we can come in person, can somebody set it up for me to go to all the meetings by Metro Access already for that, or do I have to set it up myself?
Right, I was going to say, so the first answer to answer to your first question is, can you attend in person? The answer absolutely is yes, and we encourage that. And you would book a regular Metro Access trip, and we're going to have road supervision support at those public hearings. We're going to make sure folks can get in and out, and we'll try to make some adjustments where we can. If your trip is, your pickup is 2 hours away, but you were able to finish your testimony in 30 minutes and you may want to leave early, or you may want to stay a little longer to go and talk to staff members who will be present, we're going to try to be as flexible as we can with the trips at the public hearings. But yes, you have to book your own trips. So
okay.
That doesn't change. And then the second question, I think what you're articulating is something WMATA and the industry would call dedicated funding.
Right.
And yes, I think that is absolutely what many would want to see. eventually take place here in this region is the establishment of some form of dedicated funding for WMATA and its transportation services. So I don't think anyone would be disappointed if you brought that up in your testimony.
Okay. And the thing about setting up for the Metro Access Ride, when I call to set it up, can I just tell them that I want to go to the hearing and they will already have the address and everything or where I have to go? Or do I have to tell them that myself?
No, we'll set it up where you can just say you want to go to the hearing, but you need to know the address so that when the reservation agent or the digital assistant either confirms the address, you need to be sure that you're going to the right location.
Okay.
Yeah, these are just regular, let's treat these as regular Metro Access trips so that we don't do anything that creates a unintended consequence.
All right,
we got Pat next, and then, oh no, Pat, then Rico, and then we need to move on to the next topic, which we will do the next generation vans, because I know there's a high level of interest, and we want to have adequate time for that.
Okay, so Pat, go ahead.
Thank you, Anu. I just wanted to let Doris know, in particular, that I got invited by Ray Razor, who I guess is running the Metropolitan Gear program now, to be on a radio show tomorrow between 1 and 2 to talk about what is going on with respect to the budget, where we are, and, you know, just some of the motions that the AAC has passed with respect to going forward with the budget request and that sort of thing. So I think Ray is very much aware of what's going on with respect to the whole budget issue with WMATA, and he has put it on his agenda to at least work on the discussion and let people know.
All right, Rico, you're next.
Yeah. So are we going to put flyers on the buses to let the people know about the buses also, and the trains, to make sure that people, customers, are know about the hearings on which day it's rich?
So, on it, if you're talking about Metro bus, the fixed route bus and the fixed route rail, my belief is yes, those information outreach is occurring on the fixed route services. I'll admit, today when I got on the train, I didn't quite notice, but I wasn't quite looking either. But again, I always go back to what I was saying to Ms. Doris. I'll say to you also, Mr. Rico, is that we have colleagues who I highly respect their work, their experience, and their history at public outreach for these type of situations of budget and other hearings that we've had over the years. So I defer to them in terms of placement, messaging, and timing of all when it comes to their public outreach plan. It's a, again, time-honored plan. It's been very successful. It's passed all the regulatory muster, if you will. So I could just tell you that I believe that outreach is occurring on the fixed route as well. But again, I defer to my colleagues in terms of what, how, and when they are doing said outreach.
All right. Thank you. We're going to move on to the next topic. We're going to flip things, and we're going to go to next generation vans, because I know that's a high interest of the committee. And there's a whole presentation. So is Mr. Millis there?
Mr. Millis is here.
He's ready to present with Mr. Blake.
I'm going to let Mr. Millis lead this, and I'll chime in where necessary.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, we can.
Would you like do you want to present the presentation anew, or to put it on the screen, or do you want me to try? I've never done this.
It's up to you. If you'd like, I can do it.
That would be great.
Sure.
That would, I've never tried it before, and I don't want to waste the committee's time.
Okay,
so as soon as Anu puts up the presentation, I'll start talking to you about it. We're going to be talking about what we call the next generation paratransit vehicle tonight. And I think just an overall comment, it's another vehicle proposed by Metro Access with the signature of it's a vehicle that's designed to carry passengers first and to carry them comfortably. Some of our vehicles in the past were cargo vehicles that were retrofitted to carry passengers like the Ford Transit, and this is a much better vehicle. It's designed first with customers in mind, and it's the next step in the evolution of Metro Access vehicles. We had the cars and the minivans, and these are bigger, and we'll talk about these. I want to share with you that these are not pictures of a max vehicle. A pilot is yet to be built, but what you're looking at is very much like what we're going to buy, okay? Has everybody had a chance to look at that vehicle? Okay.
Maybe if you could describe it.
Well, I'm going to. And the purpose of this is to brief the paratransit subcommittee of Metro Access on accessibility, safety features, customer comfort, and other things. I will share with you, it's about a foot longer than a Ford Transit and about 9 inches wider inside. And all of that translates into much greater interior room and headroom. It's got about 76 inches of headroom. So we can all see a vehicle, and I'm going to describe it in the next page in detail. I'm going to be doing this as we go through the pictures. One of the things we did is we came to the AAC some time ago, and we presented the concept to the AAC, and we listened to what you all said you wanted to see, your recommendations, and we built those into the designs. What you just looked at was a low floor, kneeling, ramp equipped, ADA compliant van. And it's got one step through a transit style door, so it's beginning to remind you a little bit of a Metro bus at this point, but a lot smaller. It's got a comfortable airbag suspension, so that's going to really improve the ride comfort for our customers. It's got a much more spacious interior. I mentioned that it's bigger than the Ford Transit, and it will hold a large wheelchair and a regular wheelchair and four seated passengers in comfort. And it can do that with a clear pathway from the door to the seated area. For passengers going to the seats, even when two wheelchairs are being carried. If the van shows up with two wheelchairs in it, there is nothing to prevent a customer from easily walking to the passenger seating area. And this is a, if you want to look up the model and look at some of the videos of it, it's called a Front Runner, and it's built on a ProMaster chassis. And if we can go to the next slide, and I'm going to be going through a lot of the details, so we'll get to a lot of your questions, I think, as I move along. This is going to replace our E350 and some of our oldest Ford Transits. It's a little bit bigger than them, and it can do a lot more. The pilot vehicle will arrive in September, we think. And when it comes in, we're going to be bringing it to you for you to look in, to walk around in, to see in person. Delivery after manufacture starts up will begin in December 2024. And we expect about 5 vehicles per month, and we're going to start out with an initial order of 50 vehicles and see how we like them. We have an option for 50 more vehicles. Okay, so that's the procurement status of this equipment. It is. We've got a lot of stuff here. Did I do that? Anu, I'm looking at. Need to go back a slide or two.
There we go.
I think what I've got in the front of the presentation is safety. That's you need to start with that. What we have is an advanced collision avoidance system in here. The vehicle will brake automatically to avoid collisions. Not only that, but it's going to be looking for pedestrians and bicyclists. That's a major advance of their other equipment. It's going to have something called rollaway protection to keep the vehicle from moving after it's been parked. And that has happened in the past, and it can happen with other vehicles, but not this one. We've gone with a very non-slip floor because we want to avoid slips and falls, and we can do that with a non-slip floor. And to assist that, there's going to be numerous handholds and stanchions throughout the vehicle. There is a horizontal stanchion that runs from the front of the back to the vehicle. It's something the AEC recommended, something to hold on to. We also heard about the need to have uniform lighting inside the vehicle, and we've done that. There's lights so that it's pretty even lighting. In case of emergency, there are four ways out, four exits. And if the pandemic comes back, we're going to be ready with sneeze guards and modesty panels to catch that. And in a slide coming up in a bit, we're going to see a storage area compartment. If we need to put something that a customer wants out of the way or needs to be out of the way for safety, in case of an accident, there is a storage compartment that's dedicated to that. It's not just throwing things behind the seats. We can go to the next slide. Now this is an interesting, there's two pictures here. There's a picture on the left which shows the vehicle boarding at a curb with the ramp down. And the picture on the right is the vehicle boarding with the ramp down street level. And the purpose of me putting these up in this order is so that you can see how low the ramp angle is. The picture on the left boarding to a curb, it's not flat, but it is very, very, it's a very shallow ramp, easy to get up and out. And the other picture on the right, where it's boarding to the street, again, it's very, very low. And the reason this is because A, it's a low floor vehicle, and B, it kneels. It goes down even further than it normally rides as a low floor vehicle when it's getting ready to let passengers get in and out. So it's a very low entry for both wheelchairs and customers. And if I can go to the next slide, Anu, I'll give you some facts about this. The ramp you were looking at was 34 inches wide. It has the 1-to-6 ramp angle onto the street. That's ADA compliant. And it's even better than that when you're on a curb. The vehicle sits about 9¾ inches off the ground kneeled, and a curb is 6 inches, so you're looking at 3 inches. So it's a very, very, and that's why the picture looked like it was almost flat. The ramp is rated at 800 pounds capacity. We are not going to run into any weight issues. It's engineered to max failure at 2,400 pounds. We are not going to run into anything that we can't get in that vehicle because of its weight. Also, you know, the entry door is very wide. It's 1 inches wide, and it's 76 inches tall. It's 6'4". So unless you're very, very tall, you're not going to duck. I already talked about the 9¾ and the 3¾ inch step in the doorway from a curb. You may have noticed in those pictures there were stanchions and grab holds at the entry door, and there are some lights at the exterior of the vehicle to clearly illuminate that for people with low vision trying to step into the vehicle. The next slide will be representations of the interior. Again, these are not our vehicles, so you're going to see some things in there that will not be in our vehicle. You see some flip seats. We're not doing that. On the left is the interior wheelchair compartment area. Facing forward, and behind the driver is where the 60-inch wheelchair would go. This is the ultra-large wheelchair. And to the right, in that picture to the left, is behind that modesty panel, is where the regular size electric wheelchair would go. And you'll see, like, it looks like a box up there next to the driver. There's a compartment storage area in there where we can put things like a rollator. If you move to the right, the picture on the right, you're looking back at the second half of the vehicle, which is the passenger seating area. And we have ambulatory seating back there for four persons. This picture shows eight. We don't want to do that. We're going to put four large seats that for one person each that can accommodate persons of normal stature and also some wide individuals in those seats so that they are very comfortable and they got lots of leg room. And also, I don't think I said this, but by not putting flip seats in the vehicle, we're making sure that there's maximum room for wheelchair maneuvering and for drivers to tie down wheelchairs without getting into the personal space of the wheelchair users. Okay, so we can move to the next slide. Let me just sort of summarize what I said in a different way. There are two passenger compartments, a front area and a rear area, the front area being the accommodations for the wheelchairs, one large, and the rear area for four seated passengers. Let me see. Even with a full load, two wheelchairs already on board, there is a clear pathway to the rear seated area. So that's something we wanted to do. We didn't want to have anybody have to struggle to get to that. There is 76-inch headroom. There are 2 5-inch steps to get to the passenger seating inside the vehicle. This is about half the size of a step in your house. And we had to do that in order to get the low floor, but also get the wheels and everything else in. But we think we'll be fine. If you can get up the 3 steps in a transit van, you can certainly accommodate this. I'm sorry, I have a cough. And again, we're trying to maximize legroom and comfort in the back. So we limited that to 4 seats. Now, the next slide, if we can. This is a busy slide, but I could not think of another way to show the floor plan of the vehicle except show you the floor plan of the vehicle. And I think this will give you an idea of what we're looking at. One thing I'd like to point out right away is that those rear seats, which you're going to look at on the next slide, have 28-inch hip-to-knee legroom plus another 14 and a quarter inches of foot room. So that's 42 inches. That's a lot of space. And those seats are sitting on pedestals, so you can put your feet underneath the seats, okay? And we'll talk about them in a minute. There's a stanchion about a third of the way down, running left to right. That shows you where the vertical, the horizontal stanchion is. And there are modesty panels in front of those seats. So it's very compartmentalized, and you can see you have a very wide open area in the front. And a very comfortable seating area in the back. And that's what a little bigger vehicle can do for you. It gives you the room to do these kinds of things. So the next slide, if we will, is the seats. Everybody wants to see the seats. I know I did. Seat height, that's important. This thing, the seat is set at 18 inches. That's the front of the seat, and that is exactly halfway between the 17 to 19 recommended by the ADA and the access board. So it's at the right height. Nobody's feet are going to be dangling. And as I said, you'll see it set on pedestals, so there's foot room if you're sitting in the seat behind the one in front, in addition to the 42 inches. It's a 27-inch wide seat, so it qualifies as a bariatric seat, although it's designed for a single individual, as well as a bariatric seat. So it will seat both comfortably. It comes with headrests, which we heard the committee would like to see, and sneeze guards in case we need those. There are armrests on either side of the seat, not just on one side, either side, you know, depending on what's your good arm or bad arm, so that you can help yourself out of the seat. And you'll notice it is a thickly padded seat. That, in conjunction with the airbag, is going to make for a very soft ride. Now, it does come with seatbelt extenders in case people needed it. And there was a discussion about USB charging ports, so we made sure there's one on every seat. Okay, you can charge your phone while you're riding with Metro Access. Okay, and if we can go to the next slide, Anu. We came to see you before with your comments. So what I've done here on this slide, I think it's important to listen to you and show you that we did. These are some of the design guidelines we had and what you told us you wanted. You wanted easy entry and ample headroom. You wanted handholds in the vehicle. We're providing those in non-slip floor. And you wanted ability for passengers to maneuver around in the vehicle without running into things, and operators to tie a wheelchair down without intruding into passenger space. You wanted a comfortable ride. I think we've done that with the airbag suspension, which is not commonly available, and comfortable seats. The seat height is set correctly, and we put on the handholds on the seats, the USB charging stations, the lighting at the door and uniform interior, I think that's important. We heard that it's not safe for customers with vision disabilities to have bright spots and dark spots in the vehicle. It's hard for them to see where they're going. So we've tried to make for uniform lighting throughout the vehicle. And there was quite a bit of discussion of being able to see out the vehicle. So there are large windows in the vehicle, and we've got more than adequate emergency egress. One of the things that you didn't talk too much about, but we've done, because of this kind of vehicle, we could do it. We provided for, just like the lighting, even heating and cooling throughout the vehicle through ducted ports. Before, it was blowing from the front, from the driver's compartment, and through a couple places where there were some heat and AC ducts in the back. But this is built for, like a metro bus, to provide even heating and cooling throughout the vehicle. So I think I've covered the vehicle. And Anu, can we go to the last slide? I'm ready to answer. Well, I'm going to try and answer any questions if you have them.
So Anu, my big question that some people asked with the presentation, and then we're going to delve with everyone in the committee, is Mr. Millis, with the steps up to the four seats back there, is there, you said it's 2, 3, or 5 inch steps. Is there anything that the passenger can hold on to,
yes,
if they have a bad knee, to support them to go up and down those two steps?
Yes. If you see, here's a picture on the right of the steps. It's only two, and well, it's one step and then you're on the floor. They're 5 inches, so they're very low. They're steps in a house are usually around 8.5 to 9 inches. So they're very low, and on either side you see stanchions to hold on to as you go up. So you have a stanchion on either side, you will have something to hold on to. Yes, sir.
So stanchion is like a rail, because that was the question. Okay, so
yes, sir.
Like
that's the vertical pole on either side.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. With that, also, I will allow questions from committee members. Anu, who do you have first?
Okay. So we have Tino Calabia, followed by Denise Rush, and then Doris Ray. So Tino, go ahead.
Well, actually, I'm on a different topic, which I'll do at public comments. So other people should provide your questions now or ask for information.
Okay. Thank you, Tino. Ms. Rush, go ahead. Ms. Rush, you would need to unmute yourself.
Yep, you can unmute yourself, Ms. Rush.
Press star 6 to unmute yourself. There you go, go ahead.
Okay. Okay, my question is, are these already ordered and purchased? Because it said September and 5 every month?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
We have a con. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, we have a contract for them. We have told them to start building a pilot vehicle so we can bring it to the AAC for y'all to look at. And in order, and depending on how that goes, we're expecting 5 a month to be delivered beginning in December.
Okay. Now, a pilot. Okay. I just want to make sure that the AAC committee, and especially the visually impaired members, get to touch the bus, ride it, and check out the features, because it affects how we get on the bus, because we haven't seen it. You know, people have different disabilities, and it might be fine. It is a lot better than the cargo van. I appreciate that. It's a lot roomier, but it's nothing like so-called brailing it, touching it yourself. So are you going to let us touch it before we start talking about shipping five every month?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. We're gonna let you look at the vehicle. It's a pilot vehicle. You're gonna get to see it. You're gonna get to touch it. You're gonna get to sit in it, go up and down the ramp. You're gonna get to, you get the full experience. Okay.
I appreciate.
We are gonna bring it to the AAC. No, we need your comments. We need your comments.
Yes, it's critical. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you. Next is Doris Ray, followed by Thomas Mangrum, and then Philippa Mazel. So, Doris, go ahead.
Yes, thank you for your presentation. I have a couple of comments. And first is to ditto everything that Ms. Rush said. And then second is to ask couple of questions. One is, you have stairs at the doorway for those not using the ramp or lift. So I'm wondering if there are any of these kinds of vehicles that have a front door for ambulatory riders that has a low floor ramp like metro buses, so that we don't have to worry about the business like we have right now of the stairs and problems with the stairs. I'm wondering if you have solved the problem that we had of the top of the door of the van that we had being a hazard for blind people and others who might miss the top because it was so low and get hit. I'm wondering, the lighting that you have, you mentioned in the van, I'm concerned that it might be high-intensity white lighting, and I hope it's not. That is a blinding barrier for many people with who are legally blind or have low vision, who have light-sensitive disabilities and bright, high-intensity lights going up everywhere are just making it impossible to have any contrast. Contrast is important also to blind folks. And then I'm also wondering about the seating and safety features for evacuation of the van if necessary in some kind of accident. And the last thing is many people who are blind and vision impaired are riding the bus along with people using wheelchairs and people with bags and packages and such. So I'm wondering what arrangements you have made in terms of spacing for people who are blind who are using guide dogs or people with physical disabilities and other disabilities using service animals.
Thank you, Doris.
Thank you. That is a great question. Can I answer that last one?
Oh, one other thing. I want to make the pitch not to tint the glass on the van, the windows on the van, because right now that we've added tinted glass and, the taxi industry is using tinted glass. You can't, if you're a person who is legally blind, has low vision, you can't see where you're going. And we really want to be able to see where we're going. And that means day and night. So if tint is on the glass, for example, and it's nighttime, you can't see any of the landmarks outside. And even during the day, they are distorted. So I think that's something we need to rethink, because I know the recommendation came from this committee about tinting the glass, but it's...
Thank you, Doris. We got a lot of people to get to on this topic before we go to public
comments. Can I answer that one question, though?
Go ahead, Mr. Miller.
There won't be any dark tinted glass, Doris, but on those, on the, for people with disabilities, I said the seats were on pedestals, and there's only four seats instead of eight, and part of that was you have more than enough room for your service animal to sit underneath the seat without getting in anyone's way. Okay, and we can change the light bulbs. Oh, it's not high intensity white. We can change. And you don't have to worry about hitting your head because it's 6'4" getting in the vehicle. Unless you're taller than 6'4", you don't have to duck. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Next would be Thomas Mangrum, followed by Philippa Mazzell, Debbie Fisher, Vanessa Post.
All right, this is Tom. My thing is, since the vans is already purchased, do we have a chance to check out the vans, or did people do that and I just missed it, or what have you? So I need to know. So, I want to know how the vans is working. Go ahead.
Thomas, the answer is yes by Mr. Millis. His plan is to bring it to the September AAC so we can touch it, feel it, get to try it, a demonstration. So yes to all those questions. That will occur.
Okay.
And get our feedback.
Philippa,
go ahead. Good afternoon, everyone. Trying to take my camera off. This is Philippa Mazzell. I'm continuing to wear my Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl gear to celebrate my hometown winning the Super Bowl. I just wanted to say, sir, where have you been all my life? I will reserve final judgment until I actually see the van, but oh my God, this addresses so many issues I had with the other van. I would hit my head trying to get out of it. The little stairs were too small for normal sized feet. And I think I'm normal. It might be too big, but I think they're normal. I didn't like the size of the seat because you couldn't even put your purse beside you on the seat and, you know, go through it or anything. I do share Doris' concern about whether or not the lighting will be too bright in the van. And my other issue is, I think you sort of addressed it, but not quite. The thing I hated the most about the other van was the ride was so rough. I just used to call them the Rough Riders. So is the suspension or the shock system going to be better? I'm assuming maybe because it's lower, but just wanted to find out.
Yes, what you have is a vehicle built for passengers with airbag comfort on top of it. You're going to be riding on 4 inches of air. And if you want to thank somebody, thank Mr. Blake. He told staff to go find something that met y'all's concerns.
All right.
I think we have.
Well, thank you, Mr. Blake.
Okay.
But as I said, I reserve final judgment until I see it for myself.
I think you're going to like it. I think so too.
Okay. Thank you.
If
you like it, that means you have to root for the Miami Dolphins next year.
We'll see. We'll see.
You're up next. Go ahead. Debbie Fisher.
Sorry. Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Millis. They look terrific. Two questions. One is really for you. Just questioning sound and overall stimulation for folks with autism, making sure that the sound is uniform, it doesn't require it to be too loud, too soft, general stimulation of everything, sound, lighting, heat, air, the sounds of the vents, the blowing, all the fans, all that stuff. Are those fairly well muted and uniform so that people will not find that bothersome?
Yes, that's correct. When I said ducted port on the heating and cooling, it means it's coming through the entire vehicle, but it's not making a lot of noise in any particular place. It's just quiet. And also the lighting, we're trying to be uniform with that. So y'all can take a look at that. And as I said, we control the light bulb. We know what we can put in there. And what, you know, if we have to, we can change it, but we think we're okay. The noise from the engine is coming from the very front of the vehicle away from customers. So we think we're, and it's not a very noisy vehicle. It's actually fairly quiet.
And the acoustics themselves within the cab.
The vehicle.
Yeah.
The vehicle itself has quite a bit of insulation in the walls,
okay,
which helps with sound as well as winter and summer comfort. We think it's a very well constructed vehicle.
That's great. My second question may probably be for Mr. Blake, which has to do just with the potential of six passengers. Do we need to adjust people's expectations or manage expectations for length of rides?
In this case, no. The capacity is there, and it's anything is possible. But to have more than three people, and when I say people, I'm talking about individual registered Metro Access customers, to have more than three customers traveling at the same time on the same vehicle is going to be an extremely rare occasion.
Okay.
Extremely rare. So, no, we're not going to extend customers' travel time simply because we have a vehicle that can fit a whole lot of folks. This would be a vehicle that's really, as the presentation, the absolute primary purpose of this vehicle is the transport of two wheelchairs at a time. That's the number one, first and foremost purpose of this. Secondly, is to transport those customers who we call the accommodation customers who are ambulatory, thus aren't using a wheelchair, but are personally too large for the sedan or even our Ford Transits and therefore also the minivan. That's the second purpose of the vehicles. And then thirdly would be more general population trips. And also keep in mind, the first order, once we absolutely finalize the vehicle and folks give feedback and we listen and hear what's possible to change and what is not, the number that we initially are going to purchase is only 50, and then there's a possibility of another 50. So we're talking about a vehicle that's going to be the smallest portion of the Metro Access fleet, really serving some very particular specific purposes.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you.
Okay, this is Anu Chair 74. We will take one last question on this topic by Vanessa Coles, and then we will move on to the public comment section. So Vanessa, go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Anu. And my questions have pretty much been answered. Mr. Blake, is this an answer to, I know years ago, you had asked us to say what would be the perfect van, and we gave, was trying to get something maybe custom built. I think this probably met a lot of the needs. And when it comes to bariatrics, I was just trying to see, are the seats, because I am blind, are the seats individual or they accommodate two? Also, the material, is it cloth or hard seats or leather?
Yeah.
What kind of seats are they?
Can I answer that, Chris? Those are seats for single people. They're designed for single people, but they're also designed to accommodate wide single people. So you're going to be able to sit comfortably in it. It is vinyl covered. It's thickly padded. The seat belt will fit you without any struggle. But it will also fit somebody who's very wide with the extender that's provided.
So could a parent and a child sit? Is this just one seat belt per seat?
Well, there's one seat belt per seat. Yes, ma'am. The seat is 27 inches wide, which means that You know, you or I could sit in there and you know, there's room if you want to keep your purse or maybe, you know, your package or whatever next to you. But it's not designed for two people. Every seat gets one person.
So if I have a child or someone has a child, that person, you know, as a PCA or whatever, they would have to sit in another, a whole nother seat. So then when you're assigning those vehicles, I don't know if you're going to be that specific, Mr. Blake, depending on people's PCAs, you know, trying to assign them, like you said, to specific riders.
We're going to look at the way we're going to utilize these vehicles in a lot of ways would be, first and foremost, those trips that have two wheelchairs, those trips that require accommodation, and then assign other regularly scheduled paratransit trips onto those vehicles. So there'll be some times you experience them. If we continue to grow the Abilities Ride program, the number of times you in particular, just using you as an example, would be in one of these is going to be kind of rare, to be honest with you. So it's a matter of the overall service, you scheduling your trips and Metro Access making best use of all the resources that a customer says they are willing to try. Customers who absolutely need a vehicle of this size, we will absolutely ensure that they're utilizing that vehicle. Customers who like a vehicle of this size, where it's their preference and not, it's not an accommodation, we will certainly, as we've always been doing, it's one of the four things that make us much different than any other paratransit service in the nation, we will try to have your trips on this vehicle if that's your preference, but in those particular cases, it's not a guarantee. But the vast majority of ambulatory customers, like right now, they don't necessarily experience E350 trips. The vast majority of ambulatory customers perhaps will not experience this vehicle on a regular basis.
So if it's a wheelchair person and they have two, each have a PCA, so those is only going to be, well, you said it can be up to three people.
Oh, well,
so
in that case, you can fit two wheelchair customers along with two PCAs in this vehicle very easily.
All right. It is 5:37 anew. You're going to give your spiel about public comment, and then we're going to begin so we can get everyone's public comment in.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chair Simon Ford. This is Anu. I just want to quickly share that during our public comment section, each member of the public, if you are trying to make any comments, I do have some names on the list already. If anyone else would like to make comments, please raise your hands. If you're calling through phone calls, you can press *9 to raise your virtual hands. If you are joined through the video conference, you can go under more and click on the raise hand icon. Each person will be given 2 minutes to make your comments or ask your questions. We may not be able to answer all the questions during the meeting. If that is the case, we will follow up with each individual as appropriate. Given that, since every individual will have 2 minutes, you will hear a sound alerting you that your 2 minutes have ended. So I would appreciate if everybody is considerate and follows the guidelines. We would really appreciate that. With that being said, we have one person on phone. The last four numbers are 9657. If you would still like to make comments, go ahead and unmute yourself. And while we are waiting for this person to make comments, I would like to emphasize that any person who is looking to make comments, please do raise your virtual hands so that we can recognize you. Okay. Perhaps the person is not available at any longer. Next, we will go with Denise. Denise, when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can, go ahead.
Okay, my first question is the new system when you call in to schedule trips, it is awful. There are some days when you call and when you want to speak to a person, an agent, you call the soldier transfer you open and it just keeps hanging up. So you literally have to call reservations for someone to have to transfer you over just so you can talk to somebody to schedule a trip. I've even called into customer service to tell them that when you call into the new system, which I can't stand, when it's transfer you over, it just continuously hangs up. And so sometimes it's 4:30 and you still haven't gotten through, so you can't even get your trip for the next day. If for Chase, I particularly like to make my trips online because I don't like talking to reservations, but there are times when your trip gets stuck or you can't find the time you're looking for. But when you call in, you can't get through. And I've called customer service at least 2 or 3 times about this. No one has called me back to follow up one way or the other about the issue. That's my first question.
Okay, continue.
Second question is, with these rides, they've been sending me tabs lately, which I actually really, really like. But the issue with that is we don't find out you're getting a cab until, like, you call in to find out about your ride. Maybe your window's about to end or it's close to your time, or you go look on the app, there's nothing on the app. And they be like, oh, but the cab service didn't reach out to 9 times out of 10. The cab service has not reached out to me. I don't know I'm getting a cab until I call and they tell me I'm getting a cab. And they say, well, oh, we have to transfer it to the cab service. There needs to be better communication between the Metro Access, the cab service, and the client, because a lot of times we're left hanging. And sometimes the cabs, when they call you finally, then they say, oh, well, I just got your trip a few minutes ago. And sometimes your window is already ended or about to end. And I want to make a comment. I had a cab the other day. I have his name on my house phone because they called me on my house phone generally. He literally caused an accident the other day. He doesn't even know he caused an accident. And he's a very nice guy, but he's not a nice driver.
Okay.
So this is what we'll do. Number one, on the digital assistant, you should be able to say agent twice and then yes and be transferred to an agent. You don't have to book your trips through the digital agent. If you're waiting to 4:30, that's a challenge, but this is what you do. If you have a problem and there's a phone line technicality issue in terms of the phone call dropping, but you waited till 4:30 to book your trip, this is what you do. Send me a text message. You have my number. Give me a call. We'll work out and I'll have the team investigate what happened with your call. In terms of the taxis, they never get it just at the last minute. What I can do is ensure that your trips will be on Metro Access so that and I'll also see which taxi provider any of your trips have been assigned to follow up with them on their communication to customers in general. So you shouldn't have that experience. And then we can talk. And by the way, back to the digital assistant, I didn't get the report from customer service, so that's why you didn't hear from me. But again, you have my number. All customers have my number. Give me a call and we can address any concerns you have. But I will follow up with you in a day or so, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Blake. I do see that our guest with Maryland number ending in 9657 is available. Go ahead and unmute yourself. And when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin. If you would press *6, you can unmute yourself. Okay. We will go to the next member of the public. That is also a Maryland number. Last 4 numbers are ending in 8083. Again, the last four numbers are 8083. Okay. The next member of the public is Regina Lee. Regina, when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
Good afternoon, everyone. I really appreciate Mr. Blake's robocall. However, I'm really concerned that Mr. Blake is saying that his colleagues are going to alert the people to ride the bus and the rail. However, the first meeting is on Monday. So, I mean, when are these people going to get the information? That's really, really concerning to me.
Well, I don't want to say that they have not. When I ride the train, I usually have just a very short trip. I'm not looking at the signs. Maybe I should pay more attention. That was an inquiry from Rico, and I respect it. I'm going to follow up. But unless someone has been on bus or rail recently and can say definitively that they have not seen anything on the bus or rail, I don't want to use this meeting to say fixed route riders have not been informed about this.
Well, none of the fixed route riders that I know have been informed, except by me. So that's really, I don't understand.
Okay, I'm going to follow up with my colleagues about their outreach to fixed route travelers and find out what has in fact taken place thus far.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Blake and Regina Lee. Chair Samford, this is Anu. I do see somebody's hand up, but they're not able to unmute themselves for some. Tino, I do see your hand up. Thank you. I just want to make sure that we take questions or comments from the members of the public before we go to AAC members. And at this point, I do not see any other hands up by the members of the public.
All right, so I guess we haven't got, guest five hasn't responded yet.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Tino has his hand up. He would like to make some comments. So Tino, when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
A week ago, or maybe less than that, we thought that the fiscal crisis faced by WMATA was resolved. DC had promised $200 million, Maryland had promised $150 million, and Virginia had promised $130 million. But just in the past couple of days, it turns out that Virginia's share is up in the air, maybe even worse. And I've sent long articles to you all yesterday and the short motion today, and my motion is this: that in order to address the possible shortfall from Virginia, that the Senate Finance Chair be addressed about this, and not only she but another senator who's a majority leader and also Northern Virginia be addressed. And the idea is to urge them to separate the issue of the arena project from the funding of WMATA in terms of the need to cover the shortfall. So I'm hoping that Sandy, who's written to a senator, and Doris, who goes down regularly to Richmond, and maybe others might draft a letter, which we could review on Monday, March 4th, our next meeting. And if it's approved, the letter would go to the two senators, one of whom has thrown aside the whole question of funding for WMATA.
Tina, your 2 minutes have ended.
Okay.
Okay. Doris, you are up next. When you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin. Doris, you should be able to unmute yourself. There we go. Go ahead, please.
Took me a minute.
No problem.
Sorry. Okay. So my comment actually was not a follow-up to Tino, although if we have time, it was a comment regarding some complaints that I've got from consumers about where's my ride and what's a late ride now that the change has taken place in the vehicle arrival window. And so I'm thinking and commenting that perhaps, Mr. Blake, we should be doing some extra education of the public, maybe using plain language write-ups, because a particular issue is deaf and hard of hearing consumers, particularly native ASL consumers, and some people with learning disabilities and or ID. So I'm thinking we need to do a little bit of better communication with them about, you know, what the new rules are. Maybe you know better than I, and we don't need to do that, but I have seen some issues crop up that it appears to me might be because of a misunderstanding in new rules.
Okay,
that's what I had to say in public comment for Metro Access.
Okay, yes. Thank you for the feedback. We can certainly engage in more communication about the pickup time, the pickup window, and what constitutes a late trip, and what are your options if your trip is late or projected to be late.
Yeah, and when you should report it as a late arrival, you know, what should be expected, because I think everybody knew after a lot of education that, you know, you had to wait that 20 minutes, but now it's, you know, whatever the scheduled time is, plus 30, right, and then you have to figure out when it really becomes a late pickup.
Well, okay, I hear you. And so one of the things I say to customers is you wait until your pickup window opens, and that's when you check with where's my ride. You wait till the pickup window opens, and at that moment, even 1 minute into the pickup window, if your trip is projected to be on time, we will let you know that and tell you your trip is 27 minutes away, but right now it's projected to be on time. If even 1 minute into your window, that trip is projected to be late, we will tell you that. We will say your trip is 37 minutes away, which would make it a late trip. And here are some of your options if you would like an alternative to waiting on the late Metro Access trip.
Okay. Thank you, Doris and Mr. Blake. And Doris, your 2 minutes had ended. Thank you. We do have another member of the public, Moto G Stylus. So if you would unmute yourself, and when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
I think that may be me. I'm Mrs. Smith. And am I being heard?
Yes.
One of my concerns would be, and I know that it's a shared ride and I always tell them when the driver picks me up or when I call in, I don't have a problem with shared ride, but there have been a couple of times when a sedan, and that was recently, where a sedan was sent out with the individual in there, and I have a PCA with me, and the three of us are sitting in the back seat together. I have a concern about that. And there was one person, an operator that would dispute with me, but anyway, what they end up canceling and sending me another vehicle. So the three of us were not sitting in the back seat together. With everything that's going on, I do have a concern about that. You know, I would not want to sit. And two of the people were heavy, so I didn't think it was fair that we should have to share a sedan with three people sitting close together in the back seat. And we were not, one of us was not allowed to get in the front because the driver had quite a bit of stuff on the front seat. So my concern is, should that happen? I can see, you know, I don't mind sharing the van with other people, but not in a sedan. Especially if I don't know the person, if the person is a stranger to us.
I have a concern about that as well. So I'm going to follow up because no more than two passengers are supposed to be in a sedan at a time. In the future, yes, the front seat may become available. And when we first purchased the vehicles, we intended for the front seat to become available. Then we were hit by the pandemic and distancing became a sort of hallmark of safety. But three people in a sedan should not have occurred. So I'm going to have either myself or a member of my team is going to follow up with you to get your information, find that trip, and see how did that happen. Did someone, and I'm not saying you, but did someone, we got to just figure it out. Sometimes, I can just tell you, sometimes what happens is customer books, we see it as a one passenger trip, but they were actually bringing a PCA with them, and it creates the capacity, and then the driver should have reported that, shouldn't have proceeded with a third passenger in the vehicle. But we will follow up with you tomorrow, either myself or a member of the team. We'll get to the bottom of it and make sure no other occasions of three passengers in a sedan are taking place.
Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Smith, for your question and Mr. Blake for responding. Rico, I see that you have a question when you start speaking. Your 2 minutes will begin. Go ahead and unmute yourself.
Okay, thank you. Okay, last week, Mr. Blake, I was at Friday, I was at Chinatown. The officer said he had the right username, but he did not have the correct password for the VRI service. So can we find out if all Metro Transit have the right password for they could get access to the deaf consumer?
Absolutely. That should take place. What I will do is ask my I'll ask my colleagues in system-wide accessibility if they will take down your concern and the experience you just had and engage in sort of preventative care to try to avoid this in the future. And I'm sure my colleagues will get to the bottom of this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rico. I see a member of the public is, okay, this is the same person. We still have a hand up by somebody on the phone, but the last four numbers are 9657. If you would like to make comments, try to unmute yourself one more time. Okay, I don't think they're able to do that. So Chair Somerford, before you go for adjournment, I just want to share that any members of the public who would like to make comments can do so before or after the meeting. They can send us an email at metroaacchair@wmata.com. That's metroaacchair info@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. That concludes my announcement, and I hand the meeting over to you.
All right. Can I get a motion to adjourn? It is 5:59.
Motion.
All right. All okay. All those approve to adjourn, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. See y'all next week.
Next month.
No, next week is the public hearings.
Oh, I thought.